Let me tell you a little bit about Dr. John Kellogg. It is an exciting story, by the way. I'd like to read you his obituary as I got it off the internet. And this other biographical information, Misty, also comes from newspaper clippings. And whether the writers were as honest then as they are today, I don't know. Because I know that you're always telling the truth in the paper. December the 15th, out of Battle Creek, Michigan, Dr. John Harvey Kellogg, surgeon, health authority, developer of the Battle Creek Sanitarium, and founder of the food business, which later became the W.K. Kellogg Company, died here last evening at the age of 91, 9 years short of the century goal which he had set for himself. A determined practitioner of the rules for simple eating and living, he preached for all humanity. Dr. Kellogg was perhaps the best example of the truth of his own dogmas. When he became a physician, Dr. Kellogg determined to devote himself to the problems of health. And after taking over the sanitarium, he put into effect his own ideas. Now that much is very true. If you read Adventist history, he was such a caloric type person, it was hard enough to work with him, much less to work for him. And the writer here is, I think, is being very kind. That after taking over the sanitarium, he put into effect his own ideas. Soon he had developed the sanitarium to an unprecedented degree, and he launched the business of manufacturing health foods. He gained recognition as the originator of health foods and launched the business of manufacturing them. He originated coffee and tea substitutes, ideas which led to the establishment of huge cereal companies beside his own, in which his brother, W.K. Kellogg, produced the cornflakes that he invented. His name became a household word. Guess how many children he and his wife had? They raised 40 children, never had any of their own. He officially adopted 7 of them. Well, shall we just stop there and just transition immediately into the second half of the sermon? I was hoping you'd say that. One thing that I've learned about the Adventist faith is that if it wasn't for the hand of God keeping it together, if it ever is in the control of men and women, it would die. And God works through the frailties and unique personalities of men and women to keep the movement going forward. And so it is in the history of our pioneers. Dr. Kellogg was an individual very much like some of you. He did not enjoy, neither did he desire, being told what to do. It seemed that he would listen, but then he would go and do what he wanted to do anyway, like some of you. He lived for a while in the home of Ellen White. That must have been a unique experience. I would be very uncomfortable there. I mean, someone that could sit across from the table with you and say, Paul, I've been shown such and such. I think I would have felt about this tall. Even though I want to always do right, I don't always do it. And to have someone that relates to God so well that sin is revealed, and then to have a very tender-voiced but very pointed at times individual be able to remind you of those, there would have been no hiding place. Well, Ellen White and Dr. Kellogg, they had their own very special times of counseling. And she reminded him very often that he would be safer in the company of men of like faith who could work with him and counsel with him. But for some reason, he would often decide to do things just solely on his own, and he could. He was a man of tremendous influence. He had ideas that for some of us would seem very, very extreme. One of them had to do with treatment at Battle Creek, and it involved enemas. We got anybody's attention? He believed that most all diseases started in the person's stomach. And naturally, he would have been someone who would have promoted healthful eating and healthful drinking. That's how the cereal industry came to be in the first place. They had a process in which they would take grain and they would cook it and then run it between huge rollers, and the rollers would mash it flat. Well, on one batch of cereal, it got overcooked some way, and when it came out, it resembled what we have today as the corn flake. And so they ate it, and it tasted good. And so that then began the transition into the flake cereal industry. I don't know how true it is, but there was a patient at the sanitarium. His name was C.W. Post. Have you ever heard of Post cereal? It's still on the grocery shelves today. Dr. Kellogg claimed that Mr. Post went into the vault and stole the recipes for his cereal. But those two men afterwards were always in competition, and they were at odds with each other. So there is a similar story also of Dr. Kellogg and his brother William. They never saw exactly eye to eye on the recipe or how to run the business. And they had tremendous conflict, even suing each other at times. They were very ostracized from each other. The story is that as Dr. John Kellogg had grown older, he wrote a letter, and it's in the archives, apologizing to his brother for any wrongdoing he had had, and he wanted to make restitution. He wanted them to be in a good standing and a good relationship with each other and before God. Just a wonderful letter. It saddens me the letter never was delivered to his brother. His secretary of over 30 years was supposed to type the letter and mail it to his brother William. She didn't like his brother William either. And when she got the letter, she put it in safekeeping, and Dr. Kellogg died never knowing that his brother did not receive his apology. I'd like to read you a couple of paragraphs here. If you went to Battle Creek Sanitarium as a patient, you would receive some standard treatment. Because he believed what he did, the treatment he taught, and that he taught the workers, followed his example. He made sure that the bowels of each patient was plied with water, may I say just simply, from above and below. His favorite device was an enema machine that would rapidly instill several gallons of water into a series of enemas. Every water enema was followed by a pint of yogurt. May I say, from above and from below. He believed he was planting protective germs where they were needed the most, and they would render the most effective service. The yogurt served to replace the intestinal flora of the bowel, creating what Dr. Kellogg claimed was a squeaky clean intestine. Dr. Kellogg believed that most disease is alleviated by a change in the intestinal flora. That bacteria in the intestines can either help or hinder the body. And I'm just going to ease away from that idea. But that was standard treatment, standard Seventh-day Adventist treatment at Battle Creek Sanitarium. How many of you would like to join the church and go there? May I see your hands? I know there is still many who claim benefits from hydrotherapy, and I don't know anything about it, so I can honestly say I'm just reading here from these notes. He was a skilled surgeon, very good surgeon. He loved to help people. He would often donate his services to indigent patients at his clinic who could not pay. He was privileged to share the Adventist, quote, message and faith with many famous people. President William Howard Taft, composer and pianist Percy Grainger, Arctic explorers Ronald Amundsen, world travelers Richard Halliburton, the famous aviator Amelia Earhart, economist Irving Fisher, Nobel Prize winning playwright George Bernard Shaw, Henry Ford, founder of Ford Motor Company. Thomas Edison went to see Dr. Kellogg. And the list just goes on and on and on. Dr. Kellogg has a colorful history theologically. Best known in our circles as being somewhere between panentheism and pantheism, at least later in life. And those ideas are the ones that really got him in trouble with the ministry, with the clergy. And actually, he was disfellowshipped from the Adventist church. That part is sad. Someone who had done so much good, but yet becomes so caught up in something that just cannot be supported as biblical truth. I don't understand it all. I did some research on panentheism and pantheism. That's the idea that there was a God. He created the earth and had some intelligent design. But then he left, no longer like a personal God. But then pantheism has some shadows in itself that are good, but also mingled with that which is really hard to support from Scripture. But in his defense, I can tell you, we have to have respect for anyone who is willing to stand up for what they believe. Would you agree with me? And I'm just saddened that he, in that strength, was not willing to say, you know, no Scripture is of any private interpretation. The idea that God is in everything, at the time he began to promote that, you also have to understand the strong flavorings of the 1888 message were and had and would forever be tasted by the Adventist fellowship. But we just cannot agree that God is in that pew right there, in that piece of wood. Or if we take it outside, he was once talking about the sunflower and how that in the morning the sunflower will turn its body toward the sun as it's coming up. And then in the evening time, as the sun is going down, the sunflower will bow its head. And he advocated it's because God is in that flower that the flower does that. And that God would be in the wind, that God would be in the cloud, that God would be in each individual raindrop. Now, at the same time, all of that's being tasted and tested, we have the movement of righteousness by faith. That Christ is in you, the hope of glory. And it must have been something to have been living back in those days and tried to rationalize out the real meaning between God in all of nature and the scriptural teaching that when we receive Christ, he wants to give of his divinity to us. He desires to have a station of life in us. That's what brings me to the second part of our message today, which has to do with the whole idea of temperance and godly living. Despite some of the theological views, you really do have to give some credit to Dr. Kellogg and others who were living at his time, who gave of themselves and of their resources so that other people might live a better life. He did not have to get up and go to work at Battle Creek Sanitarium. He could have had a very lucrative business as a physician and surgeon. But he was really committed to the idea that people could live a better life and have a healthier body. And that was really God's design and intention, that we should be a people recognized, blessed of God, and that we could communicate, we could cooperate with God if we would simply make better health choices. Now I'm into the second half of our message today. This whole idea that your body is the temple of God opens up many, many different doorways that the Bible student can go through. And I would encourage you to go through some of those doorways and study for yourself and make application for yourself where you can. I don't make an apology, but I just simply share with you as a truthful speaker my personal journey into healthful living is not really determined by what our church teaches. Now, I don't know if that makes any sense to you or not. But the food choices that I make and the lifestyle choices that I personally make, I believe even if I wasn't a Seventh-day Adventist pastor, if I had the same information, I hope I would still choose to live the way that I live. My understanding of healthful living has always been easier to talk about than to actually practice. And this is where I get into trouble, Thomas, when I have a conviction that we need to be reminded, because I know I'm not where I need to be. But praise God, I'm growing. I'm really growing. But if today, if each one of us could just make one decision, a lifestyle decision that would benefit us healthfully, think of what a change that would make. I mean, there must be 60, 70 people here today. If everybody just made one decision today and put it into practice, we could have a greater influence, couldn't we? I think the difficulty and the challenge in talking about healthful living is no matter how much time the person has given to it that's giving the seminar or the presentation, he or she knows within their own heart that there is room to grow. And maybe then being a bad thing, maybe that is a good thing. Maybe as long as we live, and maybe if we are on a path upward instead of downward, maybe if the general trend of our life is imitating Christ more and more, then it's better to look forward than it is to look backward. That's the direction that I get when I read about Dr. Kellogg. Full of energy and full of argument for good and for that which is wholesome. He would just simply say, why do it? And his character and his personality was just such that when he decided on something, he would put it into practice himself. Now, if some of that could have been tempered a little bit, he could have become an even greater good than he served at his best times. And wouldn't that be true for all of us? How we witness on healthful living sometimes can turn people off. It might be the opposite, that how we witness for good might motivate someone to say, you know, I want to be like that person right there. We've known for a long time of the benefits of the 8 general laws of health. Now, this is an idea. If you could choose one of these 8 and put it into practice, God would be pleased. One of the 8. Water. Now, you know what I'm going to say about water, right? What is it? It's good, and we need to drink more or less? We need to drink more. Somebody today, the power of God will reach your mind and say, you can be a better steward of your body temple if you will just drink more water. Fresh air. Aren't you glad God doesn't charge for air? Maybe crack your window a little bit. Or maybe, I don't know how you can get more fresh air. It might be if you could get a little more sunshine, which is the 3rd law of health I have here. Maybe the 2 could mix together. Just don't be like the lady who decided on to get outside and walk in the fresh air every day. And I guess she was in Florida somewhere. I don't remember all the details of the story, but when she would get so hot, she would stop by and get an ice cream cone just to treat herself and to cool things off. But a simple decision to drink more water, to breathe deeply, get some fresh air, spend a few minutes in the sunshine. And it doesn't have to be so long that you get skin cancer or anything of that nature. Exercise. I've finally done it. I've got it at the house, and Debbie saw it for the first time last night. I have a treadmill. Let's don't talk any more about exercise, okay? But it is a good thing, and if you could just do it, start out small, like a 20-minute walk. It has a lot of variables. I told you, there's a lot of doors that we could go through. But if you could become intent upon getting your heart rate up and exercising on a regular basis, I think it would be more important than making it an event, but to do it on a regular basis. And then there's this one called rest. Let's move along. Peace with God. I've spent a lot of time talking to God the last couple of months. I love to do that. I love to read the scripture, and I have to confess, I like to see what different versions say. I've resolved the issue. And I'm not without a need for further spiritual growth. But we serve a personal God who wants, he's looking for people to give to. It's kind of like we're always trying to accumulate, but he wants to give away. and to resolve the issue that no matter what happens, God is still in control, is probably the greatest truth that you will ever possess. It rises far above how to be baptized or what happens when you die. Just the simple fact of knowing that you are a child of God, and that if you should die today, you are saved and you have the assurance of eternal life. And no matter what happens to you or the people around you, in the bigger picture, it's going to be okay. That is something really that every one of us should work on. The last one is temperance. I don't know what you do to the extreme. I don't know if you overwork. I don't know if your entertainment life is to the extreme. But I know God asks us to be temperate in all things. I feel like I have a biblical basis to talk about at least the simplicity of these things. Would you turn with me as I close today? Would you turn back to 1 Corinthians chapter 3? You have accountability before God as to how you take care of your body. My best advice, without coming up with a list of the do's and the don'ts, is to just simply imitate Christ as much as we can at all times and in all places, in all ways. First Corinthians chapter 3. I'd like to read again, beginning with verse 16. Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? Now, if you claim to be a Christian, and you do, you may be weak in areas, but you claim to be a Christian. There are just a few of you here today I do not know by name, but the rest of you I know. You have a wonderful responsibility, but awesome accountability to God to treat the body temple to the very best of your ability. Does that mean it's the same for everybody? No. So if you see me eat a little bit more dessert than you eat, you be very careful how you judge, okay? Verse 17. And I said this a few months back. We read this scripture in another message. I don't read this scripture to people who are not strong Christians, because it can be misunderstood. It can be used to misrepresent the character of God. And God's not looking for nitpicky stuff that he can just burn people over. God's looking for ways to save us. But here's what the scripture says. And I know he says this to us because we are mature Christians. If we know what's right, then we should do it, whatever that means. Verse 17. If anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him. For the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. It really seems to me that as we live for God, we are actually giving our life as an example to to other people. There might be things that you could do, things you could eat, activities that you could participate in that might not necessarily be wrong for you. But it's not expedient. And it could become a stumbling block for somebody else. Lord, you have never said no to anyone who has come to you. We want to be a healthy people. We want to be filled with that which gives energy and vitality. Lay upon each of our mind a conviction right now, Lord, of a change we can make in our own lifestyle that would make you happy and benefit us and our families as well. I've presented the 8 laws of health just very, very simply here today. But Lord, I'm claiming the promise that the word will not return void. And now with heads bowed and each listener thinking about what's been said here this day, do for us what we have not done in the past. In that, we want forgiveness of sin. In times when we've not made the best decisions, and that you would give us the inner integrity and the moral power to do what's right in our life. And let us start this moment with a decision, with something that will benefit the great cause of God. Dismiss us with thy blessing. Let us take the goodness and the fulfillment of your plans of eternity for us homeward. Thank you for the power of Jesus. In his name I pray. Amen.